Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Welcome to the Weird Things podcast. I'm Andrew Main. I'm very excited. I'm joined by Brian Brushwood, who is in peak performance level right now.
Yep. Pretty much dialed in. There's a lot of rumors. People are saying that I came back from Scoop Fest sick as a dog. And let's just lay to rest right now this nonsense slander that I still have a fever and that I'm currently on cold meds. Insane.
I'm tired of that. I'm tired of that scurrilous media making things up about you and your antibodies.
Right.
So, and a little bit of related sad news was, you know, Dragon Con killed Jerry Purnell.
What?
Jerry Purnell, great sci-fi writer, Lucifer's Hammer, wrote with Larry Niven, Ringworld, all these other sorts of stuff.
Moat and God's Eye, right?
Yeah, Moat and God's Eye, probably one of the best, you know, one of the probably a great, great sci-fi story. Jerry Purnell was also like head of SIFWA, Science Fiction Writers Association. He was a tireless advocate for science fiction writers. SIFWA had a thing called grief or something. Like, there's a committee. Like, if you're an author and you felt like you're getting unfairly treated by your publishers, you could take them before the committee, and it carried weight because SIFWA represented sci-fi writers and stuff. And so,
oh, wow.
Jerry, controversial in many ways. You know, he was he described his politics as further to the right than, like, you know, Genghis Khan. He was very beloved. George R. R. Martin wrote a very nice tribute to him, and he was one of these people that his political beliefs, whatever, when he passed away, weren't the issue because he did so much to fight for people that I was very happy to see that he was very fondly remembered. But he went to Dragon Con, came back with the gold.
And that's the one that
I
did
got
win.
Him.
Man. This is actually the first time hearing about it. You know, I appeared on Twit a few times with Jerry Purnell, and we argued about the merits of just-in-time management. And he thought that it was insane that people, you know, don't have stockpiles of everything so they can remain independent from whatever grid when the power goes out or when infrastructure breaks down. And I took the counter-argument side of saying, you know what else uses just-in-time management? My liver, all my organs. They all just assume the red blood cells will keep showing up. That was a really great moment. I'm sad to hear that he's not with us anymore.
Yeah, I've had the pleasure of talking to him a couple times, you know, and, you know, this guy's one of the, you know, the kind of the deans, one of the great, you know, masters of sci-fi. You know, it's like, you know, the stuff he did, you know, writing with Larry, like you mentioned before, like, you know, his collaborations with Larry Niven, his own stuff, what he's done before. You know, when you think about just these great titans, this is a, you know, a guy who was a contemporary with, you know, Robert Heinlein. You know, Heinlein gave him a big help. And he, you know, I mean, I just sad to see him pass. But, man, cons kill. Cons kill.
Dude, there is no joke to that, man. Luckily, I've been fortunate to kind of escape some of the major con cred, which, of course, I still have, I think, two more before the end of the year, so not out of the woods yet. But once you get it, your body just shuts down, man. Like, it is just such a mutated, gross little virus.
You know, it's interesting, too, because nowadays when I go out on the road, it's almost only for cons. And I don't know if cons, like, they're just more disease vectors or whatever, but, like, when I was on tour, it was like I just felt made of iron. Like I could handle anything. And now it's like even saying yes to a convention, I'm like, yeah. So about that.
A con, you're exposed to so many more people. You know, like you think how many times you shake hands and how many times they shook hands and, you know, how poor hygiene is. Godspeed with your recovery, Brian.
All that matters to me is that we're able to bring the weird, sir. Although hopefully I'm not weirder, too weird.
So I got a couple stories. I'm going to go, first the breaking news is, tomorrow, Thursday night, tomorrow, 9:30 PM Pacific time, And I forget, let me pull this up to find, figure out what time this is, what time is it going to be. A gentleman by the name of Mr. Elon Musk is Musk? Going to...
Of the Moscow Musk's?
Perhaps. It was funny. There was like, I read some article that was like one of these super critical kind of like, you know, he's a con artist, this Canadian, the Canadian American businessman. I'm like, well, you did your research.
They thought he was from Canada?
Yeah, it's been like a year there, you know, so I guess it's like this is a finely researched, you know, debunking of Elon Musk. But anyhow, last year around this time, we were very, very excited because Elon Musk was going to be speaking before the International Astronomical Congress. Right.
Mm-hmm.
He did that was in Mexico. He went there. I think that's where it was. He went to go speak there and unveil the plans for the next generation rocket that they want to build, which has been called various names. There's BFR, which stands for big rocket.
Friendly rocket. The big friendly rocket.
Big friendly rocket.
Big it's fraggle really rocket.
Big or big Falcon rocket.
That works.
Big Falcon rocket. And then
maybe it's named after the Falcon Islands.
And then called the now it's been called the it was called the ITS, the Interplanetary Transport System, which I think two out of three times I always bungle that trying to pronounce it, which I'm sure I'm not the only one. Now Elon Musk is referring it to the BFR Planetary Colonizer.
Okay. So,
that just sounds awesome and also a little bit violent. The big effing rocket planetary. No, we're coming to colonize this planet.
Oh, yeah, so, no. Oh, it's happening.
We're going to board the USS. Try and stop us.
Yeah, so when he unveiled the plans last year, he showed those plans. The idea was to build this rocket that was a two-stage rocket, a booster stage, and a spaceship that sat on top of it that was going to be methane-powered. The reason for methane was that if you went to Mars and you wanted to refuel on Mars, you have carbon, you have oxygen, you have water, and with solar power using the Sabatier process, you can make methane, and then you can fuel your rocket back up and send it back to Earth, creating a loop, creating this back and forth sort of cycle of sending rockets to and forth. So the methane seems to be the way. That's the way Blue Origin is working with their rockets. They see that as the next big thing is let's go methane, because methane is a lot easier to deal with in many ways and has, you know, enough power. That was part of it. And then the idea of how the scale of it was amazing. This was going to have something like a diameter of like 42 feet across or something like this. So it was just going to be insane. Huge, big rocket. The spaceship portion of it could hold 100 people, send 100 people to Mars and do it in 60 days. Because what was radical about the rocket design was people were like, it's going to take you 6 to 8 months to get to Mars. He's like, I'm going to do it in 60 days. How are you going to do that, Musk? And he's like, we're going to go faster.
Huh.
Oh. Oh, wow. Let me run the math on that. Does going faster get you there? Apparently it does. And how is he going to get there faster? He wasn't going to carry the fuel to slow down. This design of the rocket that we saw was going to use aerobraking. It was going to reach Mars. It was going to head towards Mars at, you know, 50,000 miles an hour, whatever the velocity it's going, curve, go right into the atmosphere and use that to slow it down and then land. That was what we saw last year. The problem was, he said, hey, we think development cost of this thing is going to be $10 billion. And he was hoping for, like, you know, some countries and nations and the United States, some other people to make. Maybe he was hoping for them to, like, step forward and say, yes, how can we be part of this? And, you know, Elon Musk is no stranger to institutional inertia, et cetera, what have you, okay? And he wants to make this thing happen. Of course, there are people like, how is he going to make this happen? And at the time, my joke was, you know, public mystified how man worth $15 billion will afford $10 billion rocket. Because worst case scenario, Elon could pay for it. Now he's worth $20 billion. So, you know, you could. So the prop, you know, there, I don't think he wants to spend all of his money because that means selling Tesla and whatever, et cetera. So I think he wants to have a business model to do this. Worst case scenario, he can do that. So that was what we saw last year. But there was like, hey, how are you going to pay for it? How are you going to do this? Now Elon has tweeted out because he is doing a follow up a year later talk tomorrow. And he's going to talk about the updated plans of this. And he's very much hinted that the new version is going to be a smaller, a downscaled version of the ITS, which we talked a lot about here about how that was liable to be happening. And now that's the case. So that's it with that. And also a better business model, because his original his tweet was previous ideas for paying for it, because now he's going to explain the business model for it, were $10 billion dev cost, including Kickstarter and collecting underpants, which turned out to be less lucrative than expected. What's funny is you can see a generational divide where people are like, what's with the under what's the idea about the whole underpants thing? And somebody wrote like in Reddit, I think he was referring to a rag picker, which used to be a profession that would go from door to door begging.
Oh my God.
I mean, that's
somebody linked that poor soul.
That's that is a more than a decade old reference at this point, though.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, it's old. It's understandable. It's an understandable that, like, you don't get our Benny Goodman jokes, you know. So anyhow, the plan is tomorrow he's going to reveal us. He says he's going to show footage of the Raptor engine, which is the new engine they're going to be using. Apparently that working. He's going to give us an updates on this. That what he'd said publicly before is once Falcon 9, they reach their Block 5, that version of it, which will be next year, they're going to shift production to this rocket. And I think what he's going to do now is to show with the smaller scale version of it, what are the practical applications of it, probably with low Earth orbit, et cetera. One of the things I talked about was like, if you can show the commercial uses for this for launching space stations and stuff into low Earth orbit, big, huge stations all at once, that's amazing. And in the current environment, both the United States political administrations and the Russians and whatnot have talked, and the Chinese have talked a lot about, you know what, let's go to the moon. Now, we've made the case that if you can solve both problems at once. And let's not say, it has to be one or the other. But if you're building a rocket that could go to the moon and go to Mars, that sounds like a better plan.
Yeah.
Rather than, it's only a moon rocket. It's only a Mars rocket. But if you're like, hey, no, it can go anywhere. Or put stuff in orbit around Venus.
Thank you. Thank you. That was very kind. Very kind. Throw me a bone.
I want that to happen, Brian. I want that to happen. Let me make very clear. Okay.
Wait, hold on. By the way, Gnomes was the 17th episode of the second season of South Park, coming out December 16th, 1998.
Holy cow.
Almost 9 years ago, the underpants gnomes reference first broke into the
main. No. 19
years ago. Sorry, 19 years ago.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, so it's understandable. I always use this. Okay, let's do the math. That would be in 1998, not getting a 1977 reference or something.
Yeah. Yeah, geez.
Our 1978 reference, or 1979 reference. I can do math, guys. I can. A 1979 reference. Oh, you know, in that episode of Joni Loves Chachi. So guys, here's going to throw this out to you. So what we're likely to see tomorrow is Elon Musk saying, here is the BFR rocket. This is what it is. We're going to build it. We're starting construction of this now. This is a thing. It's financing. And there's another thing we can get into. There's Steve Jurvetson, who's a guy who has been a SpaceX backer for early on, has created a separate investment fund to fund SpaceX projects, which I think that may be a separate, yes, we're going to raise. I think that they've got the capital in place, how they're going to do this, the plan to move forward on it. I think we're seeing a thing, and it's going to be like, this is a go. This is a go. What does that mean for you?
I mean, that is the big, that's, you know, that this is not a PowerPoint presentation anymore. Here it is. All the pieces are here. The tech's here. The money's here. This is a reality that now has a very realistic ticking clock.
So how soon between this announcement? I guess we'll find out tomorrow. All I wanted to do is ask questions.
Will we see something?
Yeah.
I'll give you, based upon his other timelines, estimates.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I think we'll see something on a launch pad in 5 years.
Go on.
I think we'll see the full stack on the launch pad in 5 years. And I'm pounding my stake in the sand.
that old chestnuts.
our audio listeners, I'm making a face right now, my own twisted metaphor.
Pounding my stake.
I am drawing my circle. I'm drawing my line.
I'm drawing my circle around my stake in the sand.
While also calling my shot and pointing to the back of the arena.
Here it is 19. It's goddamn. I swear this is Kool-Aid, guys. It's not gin and juice. In 2017, that's this year, we are going to see within 10 years, and I would say eight years, and again, things can happen, but I think within 8 years, we are going to see by 2025, by Marvel Phase 4, we are going to see on the launch pad, a rocket capable of putting people on Mars. Now, that does not mean that I think that we will start the first Mars colonization mission, because having that rocket that could go to Mars and putting people on board isn't the same as saying, and we've got the Martian expedition financed, and we've got the everything else we need, but the rocket that could take us there will be there. It's like self-driving cars. Like, yeah, you know, we'll probably 2 to 3 years, we'll have really awesome self-driving cars. Will every state be ready to go, like, yeah, run with them, have them, you know? But I think within 8 years' time, we're going to see something on the launch pad capable of going to Mars and bringing people there or the moon.
Wow. That'll be amazing. That's incredible.
I mean, I guess then at that point, you know, I'm interested to talk about, like, what are the Elon Musk updates next year and the year after that? Like, are we just periodically kind of getting closer or to this achievement, or is there yet another big picture thing? Because this has always been the big picture idea for SpaceX, is like, sure, you know, getting these rockets up and reusability, like, these are cool things, and yes, they are groundbreaking, but they are in service of this larger vision. Are we just kind of getting close to that, or is there any other, I mean, moonshot being the metaphorical term, because we're going to look to go further than the moon, but are there any other Mars shots, you think, that we'll see in subsequent announcements?
I mean, I would imagine on the Mars side of things, like, you know, you send some rovers, you see how fast it can get there, you send something to start grabbing CO2 out of the atmosphere and processing it so that you have human-needed supplies waiting for you when you get there. Like, it seems like once everything's set up, you would that would be the early stages, right?
Yeah, that's one of the plans they talked about, was the idea of, like, once you have the rocket, send it to Mars automated, and to make sure that, you know, it can go there and, you know, and see if you can't automate, you know, some of the fuel production and other issues and stuff. So that I think is one of the things they talked about. And again, these things are in the last year since Elon Musk announced the project. You know, last year they had, hey, we like this design, this is what we want to do, we think we solved these problems. They put it out there, and then the engineer's like, all right. You know, that in the intervening months, they're like, oh, we think this through. We're looking at, now that we're moving forward and putting more time into this, we're looking at the economics of it, et cetera. And that was, you know, one of the problems is, you know, when they announced the, you know, the first version of it, the big version, is where do you build it? You know, you've got to build a factory. It means you've got to build a factory. You've got to hire thousands of people, which you've got to relocate thousands of people. You've got to do the hiring process. You've got to scale these things up. And these are huge, huge things. And be like, well, you can go, like, you know, Blue Origin's doing theirs in Alabama, near places where there have been existing rocket facilities, and people have that experience. But that's still building the factory and building and scaling up is still several years to do that alone. So, and now we have this sort of answer of, and I think it might be, hey, we might be able to do this sooner than later. I think the thing that was that Musk was expecting, or hoping, not necessarily expecting, but hoping for, was more enthusiasm from other people in the space sector and in industry and government to say, oh, cool, now we have a means to do it. But there was this, huh, wow, well, that's cool, crickets kind of thing. And then you have that, well, how are we going to solve this problem? How are we going to solve this problem? And it's like FedEx is like, hey, we can give you a package anytime, anywhere in the world. Well, what am I supposed to put in there? Why would I want to do that?
Hey, speaking of Musk, I guess we haven't, unless I missed it. Did you guys talk about the rig announcement? Didn't he make an announcement for a Tesla rig?
They're gonna unveil that next month, the Tesla Semi, which Brian's waiting for. Brian's like, none of this S3 or XBS. I'm from Texas.
I'll tell you what, man. We're talking about how much fun it would be to put together a modern Rogue van. I could be talked into going modern Rogue big rig.
Oh my God, modern Rogue van.
This guy, we were talking about kitting it out with like a wizard fighting a dragon on the side and filling it with surveillance equipment and stuff.
I remember I was walking by a 7-Eleven and I saw this beat up old Camaro, and written across the windshield, I do not kid you, Night Raper.
K or N?
Just N.
Yeah, see, N. I'd like to think it's a really enthusiastic new fan of Night Attack from China. Who
I'd prefer not. Yeah. I'd prefer that person was not connected to us at all.
Who just used Google Translate, and that's what it came out as.
Oh. And was it like they were wanting to do like Night Reaper or whatever, but it would be Night Raper. And I'm like 15, and I'm just staring at this like, if I were a cop,
yeah,
I know profiling is bad, but
I would like if like right below it, it's like, yeah, I meant it, or like not a typo. I'm really that guy.
There's a subreddit that's like a bad taste, but good executions, awful taste, AT. I'll have to find it, but one of them was a guy who'd been pulled over because he had decals of what looked like blood ripping up from the wheels. Like he had run into a person or roadkill or a deer or something, and there was blood splatter all up on the side. And it just turns out it was just poor taste, good execution.
Story of my life. just real quick, I'll probably tomorrow, like Thursday night, I'll probably hop on and do a Periscope live stream after the Elon Musk announcement. I've been having so much fun at Periscope doing that. So
that's great.
Cool. Do that. But meanwhile, you know, I have fun doing this show. You guys have fun doing this show?
Yeah. I do. I have a blast. I'll tell you what, people can have fun supporting this show if they go to patreon.com/weirdthings.
That's not it at all. That's the blood. Those are decals on the back of that car right there.
Oh my God.
No wonder you got pulled over, but I'm going to go to patreon.com/weirdthings.
If you go on over there to patreon.com/weirdthings, you can help support this show. You can kick a little money in. Make sure that every single week we give you the best blend of science, skepticism, monsters, Bigfoot, and general horsing around right here on the Weird Things podcast.
Oh, yes.
I got a story for you, and I'm kind of like, I want to say like I'm past it, but then like all, you know, I kind of never get surprised by this. And it's like, it's the story's got everything, guys. It's got all the things we sort of like, almost, you know, a good part of things we like in Weird Things stories, plus a real cool twist. But it's one of those, like, you ever, like, you know, people show you, like, fanfic, and they try to combine too much stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and like, you know, Luke Skywalker goes to Hogwarts. You know, like, oh, my God, that's amazing. You know,
sure.
He's a Jedi, and he's a wizard. This is almost this, right? And you know, we've talked about these kinds of stories at first because really they were kind of funny. And then we realized they were sort of dark, and we realized this is okay. We're kind of making fun of a culture that isn't presented as well as perhaps it could be in a sense. So in what is an article that I think is the most amazing mashup of both Goblin Story, Harry Potter, and Labyrinth.
Okay.
I bring to you from the Bulleyu24.com. I don't know what this is. Feared in Sagama, I don't know what that is, or maybe wizard, turns neighbor's son into goblin.
Transformed him into a goblin.
Yes.
And they mean the literal use of the word goblin, right?
Well, because we've determined in our cultural studies that perhaps in some cultures that goblin may mean spirit or ghost or possession.
Or weirdo.
Yeah, so we've come to determine that, and we also think that some of these like visitations may be actual like drug induced rape, which it was all funny until people were getting violated. But yeah, anyhow, let me read this story to you because, man, they did not bury the lead here. first line. A village in Filibusi has distinguished itself as an extraordinary haven for wizards and witches.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. You know,
sounds nice.
That's a nice little thing that you can put in the Yelp review.
Mm-hmm. Next line. This came to light after a family claimed their son, who went missing in February this year, was kept at a neighbor's granary as a goblin.
Kept as a goblin. So maybe goblin is a catch-all term of the mentally ill, because my guess is they don't have a lot of empathetic treatment for people with needs, special needs.
Well, Brian, next line. Amin Gumbai, a 33-year-old mentally challenged man from Magakokoko Village in Gangazezi, Filibusi, disappeared without a trace on February 23rd.
Wow.
Yeah. So how does that feel, Brian?
It feels like I have a handle on the situation. Now I get it.
Traditional leaders in the area have refused to assist their family, saying they feared they would also get bewitched. Not the TV show. His mother, Gogo Josephine Gumbai, said word was going around their village that a certain allegedly powerful traditional healer cast a spell on her son and turned him into a goblin. They said Inyanga cannot be named for ethical and legal reasons. I don't know what that means. But word is that my son is being kept in the granary by the biggest Inyanga in our village, who also doubles as a powerful church leader here. There's nothing much that we can do, but I want my son back. So apparently, child's been kidnapped, being kept by witchcraft dude who also is a church leader. And by the way, if you check out my upcoming book, Looking Glass, I talk about some of the strange crossover between Christian evangelicism and African witchcraft. And it's a little bit of a theme in there. So, apparently, been kidnapped, gone there, can't do anything about it because there's a lot of wizards and witches there and everybody's afraid of that. The police spokesman, Inspector Filasani Nabeta, confirmed having received the report. I can confirm that we received a missing persons report on Amin Gumbi, who has been in the challenge, who went missing in February. Anyone who may know his whereabouts is advised to contact their nearest police station.
Man, yeah, once you sort of pierce through, absent the word goblin, this becomes a very sad tale. no less weird, but just a little sad.
Yeah, so specifically when that one little detail of like kept in the granary, right? It's like, oh no, this is just a kidnapping.
This is a straight up kidnapping.
Yeah, a B Metro news crew visited the village head at his homestead, and he maintained that he had to distance himself from the matter. This is very difficult because the man involved is a feared man, and he has led to the downfall of many spiritual leaders who have tried to fight him. The community is divided on what should be done. Some suggested we should call Sakamutanda's witch hunters. However, other people do not want them. The problem is that we can call these witch hunters just for one case, but they will end up exposing more people who are keeping their things and practicing witchcraft without interfering with other villagers, and it will not be fair. It is a fact. People keep all sorts of things and goblins. Who am I to start pointing fingers in that so and so does it? It's none of my business, said the village head.
Well, that's what these ghost hunters are like, the faith militant in Game of Thrones. Like, as soon as they get out there, they're not going to be able to be stopped.
Apparently, because everybody's got something to hide. I can't even process this.
Yeah.
Snakes. The answer is snakes.
Yeah. So this is the world.
Yeah. True. True.
This is the world.
That's a fact, Andrew. We certainly put a button on that.
yeah, by the way, and I'm tired of all these people who won't acknowledge it. They're still denying this is the world deniers.
Yeah. So question on I was absent an episode. Did we talk about the Nazi phone book?
Talking about the Nazi phone book. No.
You know what? Just now I went in my mental file system and I looked under N, and there are so many entries under the word Nazi that I can't remember if there was a Nazi phone book in there.
So a Nazi era telephone directory creating details of some of the key figures from the Third Reich is going up for sale in the UK or auction. The leather cloth-bound directory was covered from the Reich Chancellery in Berlin at the end of World War II by Captain John Hodge, an officer in the British Grenadier Guards. The directory, which is collated A to Z, contains over 200 handwritten names, private telephone numbers, in some cases the addresses of top Nazi officials, including Heinrich Himmler, Joseph Goebbels, Rudolf Hess, Hermann Göring, Joachim von Ribbentrop, Reinhard Heydrich, Albert Speer, and Albert Bormann. There's one notable admission from the directory, though. Sorry, folks, no Adolf Hitler.
Can't get those Hitler deets.
That's because he escaped at the end of season two of Preacher.
I'm like, I as soon as I read this, I'm like, I want to invent the time telephone so I could prank call.
Yeah, you know what? I just want to grab a toddler's fake phone and just put stickers over it, labeling it the future Adolf Hitler. And then you could just, you can prank call him and it's like, like the Simpsons bit, yabba dabba doo, I like talking to you. Guys, it's Hitler.
I mean, there's, could we stop this from happening with a prank call? Like, you got, all right, this, I want you to think about this, okay? Let's take, who wants Himmler, who wants Goebbels?
Hey, hang on one second. This, you might be onto something. What if we got a Google Voice number, a toll-free number, and we, set up a file system tree that we promised that you would talk through time, to various figures, but then they all just go to our phones and we commit for a week to answering the phone based on their selections, and you just have to pretend to be various figures and play it straight.
Well, let's I want you guys to prank call. Okay. Goebbels, Ministry of Propaganda, who wants Goebbels, and Himmler, who is head of the SS.
Dibs on propaganda.
All right, then I'll be Himmler, sure.
All right, so this is your goal.
I was going to say today.
And you got to play the other one. That's what we're going to do, okay? So one, like, who's going to call? Like, Brian, you're going to call.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Beep, boop, 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 boop,
boop, boop. You're going to call Goebbels, right?
I'm Himmler. He's Goebbels.
No. Like, we're going to do two different scenarios here, two different ones,
I'm
okay?
I'm calling Goebbels.
Do not be prank calls?
Yes. Look,
you each get your own prank call, but first Brian is going to call Goebbels, okay? And Justin, you're going to be Goebbels.
Okay, here we go. Ring, 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 ring. Oh, hey, it's me, Goebbels. Who needs something propagated? Because
wait,
that's my game.
Commit to this, Justin.
G-Dog, listen, you don't know me. My name's Herbert, and I work over in acquisitions. I'm under Hitler's stealth team. We've got a new campaign that the big man wants you to do. And it's called, right now we have a lot of polls and they're tracking in a way that make it seem like, and I know it's totally messed up, that the Nazis are unrelatable. So.
Okay, hold on. Whoa. I'm writing all this down. I got a few things that I got to double check here. You said you were taking polls. Nobody's supposed to be taking polls that I don't know about. Where are you getting money for this?
Hey man, you could be replaced. You just think twice
Wait,
about this.
Herbert?
Yeah, this is Herbert.
Herbert who?
Hoofman. Hoofmeister.
Hoofman.
Herbert Hoofmeister.
Is it that of the Berlin Hoofman?
I think that the... Just gonna say the hoo-hoo Hoffmans were not treated too well.
You better check if your refrigerator is running by. Click, and then I hang up. All right, I didn't do so good.
I'm gonna set the scene here now, Brian. This is I forgot to set everything because what happened was, this morning a van pulled up in front of your house. Some security guys came out with government badges, flashed the badge, said, Brian, get into the van, this van. You're like, what do I do? I have rights. I'm from Austin. I'm Brian. Like, just get in the van.
Well, I mean, and by the way, you know, whether I'm being accosted or not, that is how I exit the door every single day, is saying, what are you doing? I have rights. I'm Brian. I live in Austin.
Brian, there's pizza in the van.
All right, fine. I got.
Right. They take you to a facility, an underground facility, and then doors open up. Vault goes in there, and there's a telephone there, and there's a man on the other side of the telephone. It's like, Brian, we've just this amazing thing happened last night. We don't know how long. There's some strange planetary alignment. our phone grid is connected with the German phone grid in like 1942. It's amazing. It's strange. And we're like, how do we capitalize on this? And we're like, Google search. And we came up with Scam School. And you're the guy. You're the guy. We need you to stop the war right now. 1940. It's 1941. We want you to just stop the war at, you know, right there. 1941, Mr. Scam School. Like, this is like, I may get a promotion out of this, by the way.
Okay. Well, it seems like we should be able to bankrupt them, question mark, by sending them on a fool's errand. But I just called Goebbels. He didn't fall for it. He asked for me like, for ID. Right.
Bring in Justin Robert Young.
Oh, there you go.
Hey, well, when in doubt, call me.
Call
that's
you out.
That's how I exit my house all the time.
Justin, Brian kind of failed miserably. In fact, that he may have made the situation worse. there's probably calls going all around, you know, the Nazi phone system. Like, hey, listen, there may be prank callers who have a phone directory.
All right.
Here's a phone. Call somebody.
I'll take the case. Who am I calling?
How about Himmler? Let's call Himmler.
All right, Himmler. He's the SS one, right?
Yeah, head of the SS.
All right, here we go. I'm going to take my phone. Beedle-up, boop, 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 ba-doop. Calling Himmler. All right. Thank you, smartphone. Calling Himmler.
beep, 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 boop, boop. Yeah, it's Himmler.
Himmler, hey,
yes.
Real quick, man, I don't have a lot of time. I really need a big favor, and I can't tell you who it's from you catch my drift.
I'm sorry, was ist das? Who ist?
Listen, man, if you do not listen to what I am saying right now, I do not have time for this. There's going to be big, 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 big trouble from up top, okay?
I just was on phone with...
Listen. I need you to take down a few names. All right, a few names. You got to round these people up. You got to just get the word out. They are on the run right now.
A manhunt. I have paper and pen. Go.
Okay, here we go. Last name.
Yeah.
Joss, Jass.
Yeah.
Okay, first name Hugh.
So how much do you want this Hugh Jass?
We gotta get him now. We gotta lock it down. We gotta. And it doesn't matter how rough you gotta be on Hugh.
I will be very rough with Hugh Jass.
Punish Mr. Jass.
I will punish him very. He will get a spanking. Do not worry.
There's another one. Another. Jeez. I mean, God. You know how odd is this? Another Hugh, first name Hugh, all right, and then middle initial G, all right, last name Bonnier. It's a French name for these French guys running around. Bonner, Hugh, UG Boner.
If I get my hands on Hugh G Boner, he'll not forget what comes next. I'll throttle him very hard.
That's it. Hugh Jass and Hugh G Boner. You gotta make sure you get them. Don't let them get together, for God's sakes.
Oh, no.
I got a mess on our hands.
So separate cells. Put Hugh G Boner in Hugh Jass cell.
Oh, not anywhere. Okay. Thank you, Himmler. Anyway, see you later.
So the security officials here are making like a in this conversation note because they're looking through notes, they're pulling out filing cabinets and stuff, and they're like, we had two spies in Berlin at that time.
Oh no, what were their names?
We didn't know it was a hurry. We didn't know what to name them, so we named them, you know, Hugh Jass and Hugh Boner.
Oh,
you guys doing a bit? Was this a bit? Like send them in like that?
It was in a hurry. We had to place them. We just, you know, said come up with a couple names. We didn't know that, you know, 70 years later, some jerks were going to prank call through a time traveling telephone and expose the whole spy operation. They were on their way to kill Hitler.
Gosh darn it. Well, you know, a butterfly in Brazil, right?
That's
we killed that one. We got that one.
So. We stopped 5 storms this year. You know, and you didn't even see them.
You have no idea. Stomped so many butterflies. you know, this fun little make-believe merriment could be fun. Maybe we should do a whole little segment of this.
Oh, and what would we call it?
Time traveling telephone.
Or Journey Quest.
Oh yeah, no, we call it Journey Quest. That's good.
Journey Quest.
Previously on
Journey Quest.
I'm trying to bring order back to the world, and I want your help. I need your help to do this.
Everything goes haywire. Your trap door automatically opens, and you fall.
I run, grab the parachute, and I jump out of the Hindenburg. Therefore. Trying to save us from another 2 episodes of separate storylines.
So if I remember correctly, I was leading a tribe of chimpanzees, right?
Yep.
And Justin, we didn't know where he was.
Yeah, we don't know where Justin is.
I landed far away from you.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm leading my tribe, my new peoples. Number 1, number 7, he's funny. Number 7, he'll get you, man. Number 235, yeah, I think he's got aspirations of dethroning me. But number 276, will he seems to have hand signed that he will kill him if he tries.
So, Justin, you crash through the jungle, break through the skylight, and the next thing you know, you are inside of an abandoned shopping mall.
Oh, my God.
Wait, in the middle of a jungle?
Brian, why are you questioning me?
Why
are you here? I'm sorry, Brian.
I'm on my own separate adventure, and I just thought to myself randomly, I wonder if there's any abandoned shopping malls in the middle of the jungle. And then I was like, that would be surprising.
All right, I smash through the Galleria roof glass, and I land, and I say, oh, my God, there's a shopping mall in the middle of this jungle.
And it's run down. There are vines and weeds. Part of the skylights have been broken through in other places, so it's just sort of like turning to rotten vegetation, okay?
Can I see any of the stores?
Yeah, there's stores there. There's Hot Topic.
Pacific Sun?
Apple store. What's that?
Is there a Pacific Sun?
There is a Pac Sun. There is a Pac Sun store.
All right, I grab one of those belts that kind of look like they were woven together.
Sweet. So you got that, and then you hear noises like things getting knocked over in the far end of the mall.
That seems dangerous. Do I have any weapons on me?
No, you don't. You can look around though.
I want so bad to believe that you hear the sound of Nazis trying to say, huge ass, you cannot hide forever.
can I go to is there a Dick's or a Sports Authority that I can go to get a baseball bat or something?
There is a Dick's at the end of the mall.
Nice. All right. I go to that. Wait, okay. Say it again.
Opposite of where the noises are coming from.
All right, good. I go to the Dick's and I procure myself a Casey Jones style hockey mask and a hockey stick and a baseball bat and cleats. Right.
Cleats too. Okay, cool. So now you're all set up. You're all well defended, and you hear this sort of like stampeding on the floor coming towards you, right?
Okay.
And then you see things getting knocked back and forth, left and right. And there you see a giant, massive wild boar.
All right. I'm going to have to go back to that Dick's and see if it has a gun department, because I did not remember to go find the guns. Is there a gun department at the Dick's?
Everything's been broken and looted. There's no guns there.
Okay.
And the boar has now followed you into Dick's. It's now inside of there.
In my separate adventure, hoping that I have a psychic connection with Justin, I think, if Justin's in trouble, I hope he thinks of archery.
Crossbows. I was going to look for archery before I had this annoying psychic connection saying what I was already thinking. I look for any archery section.
No, all the weapons have been cleaned out because it was apocalypse. So people went through the mall and ransacked it. You're lucky to get some baseball bats and stuff because, you know, people are like, baseball, you know.
So is the boar chasing me or is it just kind of trotting
after? It's stalking you now inside Dick's Sporting Goods. It knows you're there. You hear it. It's huffing and you hear it just, you know, it's just getting you see racks and stuff getting knocked over. And it's kind of, you know, literally chasing you around. You might want to hop up on a counter.
So, yeah, I do. I do that. I try to get up as high as I can on as sturdy of a thing as I can.
All right. So there you're up on the counter. And all of a sudden, the boar is right below you. And it's trying to like, tusk you.
I whack it. I try to whack it with a hockey stick.
It's a little dazed, comes at you again.
I whack it again.
Your hockey stick bus. It's just like a big sharp shard.
I try to stab it in the eye with the sharp shard.
Oh, you stab it in the eye? It lets out this blood-curdling squeal. Right? Uh-huh. Big squeal. Big nice. Squeal. Right?
Nice. Big squeal. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Get some.
Thrashes around. Spins around on the floor. Blood everywhere. Maybe you leap down and stab it in the heart.
Well, that seems like something that might go my way and might not. I'm just gonna sit here and watch it bleed on the ground.
It's bleeding, still squealing,
just howling.
It's definitely been a while now. A lot of squealing. I still have that. shard. Kind of really hoping that I don't jump down to stab it in the heart and then it flips right back up because it was, you know, lead me on. But you want to know what? I summon all my courage. I take a big leap and with two hands, as if I'm in a movie, I have the shard in my hands and I try to drive it into the heart of the beast.
And it dies.
Nice. Yeah. Boom.
Now here you are. Middle of a Dick's Sporting Goods, dead boar.
Yeah.
A little hungry.
I think it's time to get myself a little cooking. This boar, I assume, too big to drag, right?
It's kind of, I mean, you could cut it up into little bits of boar meat.
Yeah, I'm trying to think how I'm going to get, how it would be best for me. I figure out the best way to get the boar meat to... In fact, no, you want to know what? First I go and I investigate the food court to see if any of the kitchen equipment still
actually,
work.
You find some knives and some other stuff there.
Awesome. All right. So I bring that back and I begin to cut up that boar.
Okay. Now as you're on your way back, you did hear the sound of maybe the soft sound of footsteps.
Okay, I just want to let everybody know, including myself. This is me talking to myself in this thing. I don't care if this was a mother boar with a bunch of cute little babies. That was her, me. And if I see one of these cute little babies, I will kick it right in the head.
Hear more footsteps. You go back into there. So now are you cooking the boar? What are you doing?
Yeah, so I've cut up the boar, and now I'm bringing it back to the food court to try to cook it up.
So you're cooking it up, smelling really good. You actually grabbed some barbecue sauce. Maybe you found some buns that hadn't gone bad.
No, I'm actually cooking it in on the flatbed hibachi that they have for like the hibachi place in the food court. And I'm doing the tricks, right? I find a little. I don't have any like shrimp that I can like flip up into my hat, but I do. I try to flip just random, like a random pig bone, like up into. They still had the hat.
Oh no! You found a Panda Express, and you actually found some like preserved like shrimp and some other stuff too. You did find that.
All right, I'm doing the whole thing for myself. Like I'm cutting up the onions, so there's the little volcano, and I'm doing all the hibachi bits. Yeah.
As you do this, you get the sensation you're being watched.
I say very loud, if you're a cute little boar baby, I hope that you get the F out of my face right now because you are going to be dessert.
Still being watched. A couple
you know
noises.
What they say about Chinese little boar babies? I'm going to be hungry in 30 minutes.
And then you see a pair of eyes watching you.
I say, listen, you want some? Come get some. I murdered your mom. I'll murder you right in the face. I don't care how young you are.
Then you hear crying. Why did you murder my mom?
Oh my God. It's a sentient pig. Is it a sentient? How would the mom not talk?
So what do you say?
Who are you?
My name is Jennifer.
Jennifer's a little girl.
Why did you call me a pig?
Come on out. Wait, were you being raised by the pig?
No, you just said you murdered my mom.
Oh, all right. Sorry. Okay. Number one, bad first impressions. I've been told I make them. So come on in here, little girl. I didn't murder your mom. I murdered a pig. Good news is we got a ton of pig stuff. Is your mom here? Did she leave you or what happened?
Somebody murdered my mom.
Somebody murdered your mom. Okay.
And then here you were talking about murdering moms. And so logically.
I smell pig. Jennifer says, I got to go away for a moment. And you're not sure what's going on. And then we're not sure what Jennifer's up to, but Jennifer may be getting a text message.
Oh,
oh golly, I sure do miss my mom who died. You don't have a mom with you, do you?
No.
Right, here you go.
No, I don't. I don't have a mom with me. I'm just a guy who tried to escape a Nazi regime to hook up with my friend out here in the jungle. I was trying to save dual plot lines, and boy, did that blow up in my face.
Well, some people, you seem like a weary traveler on an adventure who could use some help.
You seem like you have Mrs. Doubtfire's voice, but go ahead. You're right.
Well, if you've ever read the economist Julian Simon, then you know that people are the most valuable resource of all. Would you like some extra tiny helping hands on your adventure?
Yeah, no, come on over. You want some pork fried rice? Because I'm cooking up some pork fried rice.
Can I get my brother to come over too?
Sure, yeah. Where's your brother?
Gaston is over back on... He's at the Jamba Juice, and usually Timothy hangs out on the roof, and then, I guess my sisters too, Gertrude, Gertrine, Geary, Goliath.
Wait a minute,
Gucci.
Hold on. How many of you kids are here?
I don't know the word because our parents died so long ago, but they used to make a joke. They say we're cheaper by the frozen.
The frozen?
I guess. I don't know. I never understood it. Is a frozen a thing?
Is that more than a dozen?
Wait, what's a dozen? No, dozen. That's the word they use. Cheaper by the dozen. That's what they used to say. But we don't have school here. So I don't know. There's just a few of us.
How old is your oldest brother?
Well, I believe he's a frozen.
and sister, are your sisters older than your brother, your oldest brother?
Half frozen and half of a half frozen. And the baby. We take care of the baby too.
Wait, how long ago did your parents die?
It's hard, man. Hard to remember. Hard to remember.
But there's a baby.
I don't even know the word. Yeah. I guess that would be pretty weird. I guess now that I think about it, you're right. The baby must have been alive. Unless it's maybe that. Maybe my mom died like The Walking Dead, giving birth to the baby, and now so it's like 3 years ago.
This sounds reassuring. Okay, so there's 12 of you. How do you eat here in this shopping center?
We keep having to use the same peanut oil over at the Chick-fil-A, but there's enough frozen or packaged waffle fries for us to get by, mainly we like to play with the sentient pigs that run around here.
Wait, you play with them?
They we play a game called hide and seek. They go clomping around, and then sometimes they'll make it real fun and hilarious, and like they'll make snorting, menacing noises as if they're out to get us. But it just makes it more fun when we hug.
So that's not a real menacing boar that was out to kill people. Like,
that was their job. They were genetically engineered to be sentient boars that protected us from the outside land. And we were down to, we had just one left because the chimpanzees got other ones.
The chimps got the other ones.
I think so. I mean, I'm 12. I'm 12.
All right, Jennifer. Wait, you're the oldest? There's a lot of inconsistencies here. Jennifer, I have
some... Oh, I hear a noise. You hear more footsteps.
Oh. <Yeah. laughs> Oh, wait a minute. That's our other brothers and sisters.
Oh, come on in, guys. I want to speak to you all. Come on in, guys.
Okay. Jennifer sort of takes a few steps back, but watches very attentively.
Guys, don't worry. I got some really, really bad news for you. First and foremost, my name is Brian Brushwood, and I am used to be, you know, back when society ran, used to be a YouTube magician, and
They all start whispering like, "Oh, the YouTube."
I just want to tell you guys some really bad news. I know it's been a while. You guys have been through a lot with your parents being gone apparently immediately after childbirth.
Children are pushing really close in. They're getting really, really tight in, and there's more of them.
Just like
there's
super like interested. Like their eyes are glistening with wide-eyed excitement for what comes next.
Yeah. I am a weary traveler, and I've made my way into your house, and I saw one of the most horrifying sights I've ever seen in my entire life. Right as I walked into the Dick's Sporting Goods in the front door, I saw not one, not two, but three chimpanzees brutally murdering your sentient pig.
They nod as if that's not a really interesting part of the story to them as they take another closer step to you, and then Jennifer says, "When are the nuggets?" And another of the children says, "Not yet,
wife. White.
Ah." Okay, so
now you realize you're surrounded.
Who wants pork fried rice? Because there's pork fried rice here.
They start. They begin a very quiet chant that goes: other white meat, other white meat.
Meat. Are you guys sure you don't want any pork fried rice? As I flip as much steaming hot pork fried rice, everything goes at these kids right in the face. I'm flipping the volcano. I'm spraying the everything on there, so there's just a gigantic fireball on the table. I'm pulling out.
There are children on fire.
Advanced black belt hibachi defense. That's what I'm employing. I'm just lighting stuff on fire and throwing at them.
Jennifer screams and says, nuggets! And then they all start running for you. Just like it's World War Z. Just bodies of children swarming at you.
I coat my baseball bat in oil and I dip it into the flame. I get in full batting stance as I say, "Let's do this," and I just take them out head first. Just all their tiny little skulls cracking with the bat, my flaming bat.
They start singing the Nug song as they're coming at you wave after wave. They're saying, "Nugs, Nugs. Gotta get those nugs.
I'm popping them as fast as I can as I look for any kind of seam that I can start making my way out.
I think you make your way through over a body of dead children.
Yeah, boom. And I'm not even putting them out neither. they're still flaming from my flaming bat.
Yeah, you find an exit and you run and you find the forest and you start running towards there.
Are we sure that I can't just make a little bit more pork fried rice, like for the road, though?
You know? You should have shoved some in your pockets when you had a chance.
All right, I put some pork, the left of the pork fried rice, in the pocket, and then as I'm leaving the pile of dead children, I grab a fortune cookie and I throw it down and I say, "Don't forget to check it. I don't think it's positive news."
Jennifer checks it and it says, "Today you'll be betrayed and be left to die. Also, your lucky numbers are 72, 15, 3, 5, and pi."
In the Chinese pictogram for white meat, and one of the characters suspiciously looks like your face.
All right, I shove the pork fried rice in my pocket and make my way out.
So meanwhile, we're going to touch over to Brian, who is marching through the jungle, being trailed by his... Brian is now the leader of a pack of chimpanzees.
Yeah, I'm trying to teach them all to whistle because I saw a bridge over the river Kwai. And so I'm all like, you know...
And, you know, it's funny. You know who wrote the book that was based on?
Andrew Bain?
No.
Oh.
Pierre Boulez.
Who's that?
Planet of the Apes.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
That's great. So. I explained this to the chimpanzees. Do I see any glimmer of understanding in their eyes?
No, but they actually, you come to a part of the... that you come to a place in the forest where there's sort of like, it feels like a road. There's like an actual like leftover sort of road. And they're really insistent that you go down there.
I shrug shoulders. I hold up for a high five. I do my serum. I've taught them how to high five too. I'm hoping.
High five. They high five. They love high fiving and they're high fiving at each other and stuff.
And then although I can only use the one hand, I only have one good hand. So
screw that.
High five, high five, high five. Let's go. Let's go.
They go and they're getting excited. They're getting excited. They're like, and one of them makes these motions with you, like
twisting
tool motion. What's that?
Like motorcycle handles. Like I'm
like tool motions, like
spinning around. Huh?
Mm-hmm. Points to you and like,
I oblige him by doing the Macarena.
I
don't entirely know what I'm doing. Do I see anything nearby?
You're getting closer, Brian. You see a billboard. You see a large billboard, and behind it, there's a wall. It's like this wall. You can't see quite what's behind the wall, but you start to pull down the foliage from the billboard, and you can see that it was there. Like, you know, you pull this down, and they're helping you, and they pull it down.
Eons ago. Okay, yeah, let's clean this up. Hey, man, it takes a village. Am I right? High five, high five, high five.
They pull all the greenery around, and they just start clapping. They're excited.
Am I able to see what's on this billboard?
You can see it now, Brian.
What's it say?
Grand Prix Race-O-Rama Go-Kart Track.
I start to hoot like a chimpanzee and begin to clap my hand against my stump. And I say, and I turn, I wave my arms akimbo and shout, "Who wants to do some go-karts?"
Because, like, on the post, on the billboard, like, the person riding, it's actually a chimp riding a go-kart. It's the mascot. It's, you know, Racer Chimps Grand Prix.
I stopped listening to your narration and as a full run headed towards the go-karts.
The thing is, Brian, you go through the gate and you find the track it's cleared. The track's cleared, and actually, there are go-karts out there, and the chimps all go hop on the go-karts, but they don't go anywhere.
Well, I kick the translucent fuel canister to see if there's any fuel in them.
It's empty.
Oh, I scan around for red-colored barrels.
You see some red-colored barrels, Brian.
I scan for hoses.
You find hoses, Brian.
Okay, great, great. I use the hose on the barrels to refill the go-karts.
You refill the go-karts, Brian.
Okay, I reach over and I pull one of the lawnmower starters and on number seven's go-kart.
He freaks out, hops out of the go-kart afraid, doesn't know what the sound is.
I hold my hands up in what I hope is a non-threatening manner, even though one of them is covered with a chainsaw. And I hold up like a finger as if to say, hold on there, kiddo. And I get in, and as best I'm able to with one hand, I start to drive the go-kart around.
The chimps form a line. There's, and they all go jump into their go-karts.
Great. And then do they know how to start them, or do I have to go show them? I teach them how to start them and how to drive.
You teach them how to start them. They all run to their carts, and then you start all the go-karts.
All right, and then
they're waiting for you. They're looking at that flag because you pointed out what the flag does.
That's right. That's right. I we're all lined up, ready to go, and I rev my engine on my chainsaw once, twice, and on the third one, I slice down, saying the race is on.
And 40 go-karts slam into each other all at once because chimpanzees are horrible, horrible, horrible drivers. And there's the most massive go-kart pileup ever. Screams of chimps and delight, by the way, too. The smell of motor oil. There's a fire.
Was I in the pileup, or am I able to win?
You look behind you and you see the pileup.
Great. I keep on going, and I look, I scan the horizon for a blue shell.
What's the blue shell?
That's blue shell's like the legendarily bad tool in Donkey Kong racing.
Gotcha.
Mario
Kart. So you go do a loop around, and you come back, right, and there's the pile, and some of the chimps have managed to pull their carts from the pile.
I rev my engine of my...
And one whizzes right past you. And Brian may have picked up this from you because they didn't know this. May have flipped you off.
Okay. I throw my head back with a lofty, jovial laugh of finally. I haven't felt this like a kid in years. Then I try to take
while
it down.
I'm out in the jungle, I hope that I have a psychic connection with Brian. And I say... man, I hope if Brian finds fuel, he doesn't waste it frivolously as we're still hopelessly stuck in the middle of a jungle.
I briefly consider the fleeting thought as I push down on the accelerator full bore to get as fast as I can and try to overtake first place again.
All right, you take the first chimps. Now, all of a sudden, the chimps' very much aggressive instincts are taking place.
Though. Oh.
You've triggered something. And you look behind you. Those happy chimps, they're now like, they're serious driver chimps.
I scan around for banana peels or any other slippery thing to throw behind me.
A chimp jumps from his cart onto your cart right now and tries to bite your face.
Okay. I say, I don't suppose you're here to help. And maybe I check and see if there are antenna whips that go left to right, so that maybe he's actually here to be on my team and defend against on.
No, he's trying to bite your face, Brian. He's upset.
All right, I with zero remorse just whip my chainsaw at him, try to gut him.
Guts, he falls to the side. The other chimps keep a very respectful distance because you've asserted your dominance again. And then you're whipping around the cart, and you realize there is a hole in the fence that leads to a road, and there is a sign that says Galleria Jungle Mall, 30 miles.
I lean over my shoulder and say, y'all ever seen the Blues Brothers? As I head right towards the mall in my go-kart.
Followed by 30 chimpanzees. 10 died.
You know what? Survival of the fittest.
So there you go, heading down on a highway, followed by 30 chimpanzees and go-karts.
Just all hooting. I try to start a hooting, a rhythmic hooting, like, hoo, 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 hoo.
And they're all hooting, and you're all excited, and then you don't even notice when you pass the first skull and crossbones nailed to a post.
Hey, nobody saw anything, did you? I didn't think so. And off we go.
Yeah. Don't even notice the second billboard that says, you know, Leather Town this way.
I keep just barreling full speed at 15 miles an hour, man.
You know, you catch out of the corner of your eye the sign that says, hey, if you come here, you're asking for it.
As I'm ignoring this, I think back to that moment in Dino De Laurentiis's Flash Gordon when he's flying blind on a rocket cycle.
And I just, a big placid grin comes across my face.
The next sign says Leathertown. There are no safe words here.
At this point, I circle around, and gather up the chimpanzees.
Okay.
I was like,
next
hey,
time.
Oh, dang it. Oh, okay.
On Journey Quest.
Boom.
Boom.
Nice.
Don't worry.
Nice.
I think they'll be reunited soon, but, there may be more cannibal children on the path for Justin, and Brian has to deal with the complications of raising your own chimpanzee army, but they are mobile now.
Well, and it seems like for the moment I have their respect, which is the important part.
Yeah, you know how to keep it. You got to kill a chimp every now and then.
Hey, I've got a pick if you guys do.
Sure. Yeah, I got one.
What you got?
I'll start. I'm going to pick Rick and Morty. Because it was really good, and I watched the last two episodes that I hadn't watched yet, and my favorite subplot of Rick and Morty, the meta, is how much Dan Harmon and Justin Roiland like fighting over the interdimensional cable episode, where obviously it was one of the most memorable parts of season one. In season two, like, there was all this mentioning of like, oh, I guess we're tempting fate. Like, who knows if it'll be as funny again? This is all improv. Like, this is crazy. And it wasn't as funny. And they, like, even, like, hinted that that was, like, a huge fight that they had behind the scenes. And so now, this year's, they don't do improv'd. It's Morty's Mind Blowers. They make a little plot out of it. And yet, it kind of lacks a little bit of the crazy freewheeling spontaneity of the internet, the interdimensional cable thing. Although there's plenty of back and forth of like, yeah, we're doing this instead of interdimensional cable. Just so you know, this is the interdimensional cable episode. We're not doing it this year.
Yeah, those moments are pretty great when they're giving stuff away on that.
I totally missed the part. I watched it, but I didn't connect it. Like at the end where Summer was like, this always happens. You guys fight and you miss your schedule.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
And I'm like, I was so in the show, I'm not thinking, wait, this is about the show.
Yeah, yes. Yep. He's like, yeah, it's more like an anthology we're doing. I got a pick. There was nothing more delightful than tricking my daughter into coming in and trying out the newest thing we got for the Vive on VR, and the delight in her voice when she realized that she was standing in the world of Voltron, a cartoon that she has very much enjoyed watching with me. And all of a sudden the characters are there, Rhys Darby, all the actual actors are there. You get to play as Lance and the Blue Lion. It's a fine hour long adventure, but if you like the cartoon, and you should like the cartoon because it's a very good Netflix original, then, you are going to have a really, really good time playing this little adventure of Voltron VR Chronicles.
That's awesome. And I love the illustration, that they did for it. Like, I think that there's so much to be done by hyper stylized stuff like that and not necessarily trying to go as photorealistic as possible.
Well, and it's funny too. Like, that's one of the things that's great about Voltron, is because it's got the same showrunners that did Legend of Korra and Avatar: The Last Airbender. So it's like, they know how to do comedy beats. They know how to build up tension and then break it. And again, having all the voice actors doing their thing, seeing the big grin on Penny's face when she was playing was just the best.
Sweet. I got a pick. I got one or two. I could either do a tech pick or a media pick.
Well, you can't plug The Naturalist, no matter whether or not it is still number one on the Kindle bookstore.
By the way, closing in on a month.
That's what I was saying.
A month of this.
That's so great, man.
And by the way, at the end of the month, the book actually comes out. Like, this has all been before the book comes out. This is amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I am overwhelmed. I am. It
humbled
is.
And
I. Yeah. I can't even begin. It's just. You hope that, and it's, you know, that it's being really well received and liked. This is great. And so that's just.
I just remember calling you from Dragon Con when it hit number one and was there for like a day and a half. And I was like, oh my God, we did it, Reddit. This is amazing. And geez, what a paltry achievement that was compared to where it is right now and where it continues to trend. So go get it if you ain't got it yet.
Yeah. So my pick, do you want a media pick or tech pick?
Tech pick.
Tech pick. I've been wanting to get this forever, and I finally checked, and I saw that they were in stock. I didn't want to wait 4 to 6 weeks, and I said, all right, I'm going to go ahead and do it because I could pick them up today or the day I got them. I don't like to wait.
Oh, are those
dental floss?
Are
dental
those
floss? Yes, no.
Earbuds? The
these are the AirPods? Apple AirPods.
How do you like them?
I love them because I don't have to look at myself with them in.
You feel bad for everyone else.
Have you tried these?
No, I've not. Yeah, you know what? I fell in love with. I've got the Bose Quiet Control ones that have a battery pack in here, and they do noise canceling. Oh. And so I'll leave these in all the time.
So this is great because this thing fits in your pocket. You go out, you put this in your pocket instead of rolling up your little your cords. You know, you can put one in your, both of them can do sound, or can both of them have microphones. So you can use one, like the left or the right, talk, have a conversation, or you can do both if you want to have stereo. Having them connect with your iPhone or your Apple TV is super easy. You just open the case and it's like, oh, do you want a pair? Like, yes, I want to pair. Or there's a button you press. Battery life is great and they charge while they're in the case. So I'll go out there and I'll talk and I'll get maybe like 2.5 hours out of talk out of them. And then I'll get like low battery notice, just so you know. And I'll put one back in the little case, which charges it.
Ah.
In that case, you could go all day. You can go all day with them. They sync up great. This case is pretty easy to put in the pocket. The quality of sound is fine. You know, it's not as good as like a more, you know, robust sort of system. But for what it is, it's been great. I've been using it late at night, like my Apple TV. If I want to watch TV and not wake up my neighbors, I can use it with my Apple TV. It's been a wonderful, wonderful thing. Yeah, the charge case is fantastic because you can keep these in the case when you don't need them, but the case is also a charger for them. So just wonderful.
I thought that was a really smart idea to do that. And the fact that now those are going to also be – or they are also now wireless charging available. So when the new Apple big old mat – that you can just put all those different things on. That'll be another thing that can charge wirelessly. I'm excited, you know, because I've gotten the W1 chip experience with the Beats X that I have, and I've liked it. But really, my biggest problem with it is battery life, because it doesn't just turn off when I'm not using it. And I think that's something that just is solved, because you're not gonna, just going to leave those in your ears. You're going to wind up putting them back in the case if you're not using them. And that is awesome to just kind of constantly be topping them off.
Yeah. So I've been very, very happy with that. So anyhow, that's my pick. So it's one of these things like I hate, like, you know, you buy something, you're like, you know, like, am I going to be happy with it? And very thrilled. Very thrilled.
Awesome.
Gentlemen, it's been...
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.